148 of Flyaway, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics. So if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Elizabeth. Walt Disney famously said that the parks would never be finished as long as there is imagination left in the world. At this year's D23 convention in Anaheim, Disney Parks did not disappoint. Several announcements were made about upcoming changes to the parks. Also, Sandy and her family were able to experience Pandora at Animal Kingdom in August. So we thought it'd be a great idea and a good time to recap what's new and what you can expect in the next few years. So let's get started. So first, a good place to jump off might be, Sandy, what is D23?
So D23 is the fan convention that Disney has every other year, and it's in Anaheim. I think this was the fourth one. I was there a couple years ago. They do pretty much all things Disney. So they'll have, like, Radio Disney and Disney Channel stars are there, and then they'll have, like, a whole convention side for people who sell, like, the memorabilia and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Kind of like a Comic-Con for Disney geeks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's Comic-Con,
it's
but focused on Disney.
Coming up. They honor Disney legends. They, you know, I think Dick Van Dyke was there, I think, at this one.
Wow.
So it's really, yeah, it's exactly what Elizabeth said, Comic-Con for Disney geeks.
The first one, Johnny Depp made an appearance. One of the pirate movies was coming out, and Johnny Depp swung in for one of the big keynote speeches. So,
first
yeah.
One, yeah. Yeah.
How long is that convention usually?
About 4 days, I think. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Since August. Yeah. So, very
good. Okay.
Cool.
So, out of that came a lot of brand new announcements. But maybe we should first jump off and talk about Pandora, since that's where you...
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, since it's open. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and get that out of the way.
So, and we talked a little bit about Pandora earlier before it opened, just sort of a preview of it. But now a few of us have had a chance to experience it. So we wanted to sort of revisit it and talk about what it's like. And I think the important thing to know, and then what ties this into the announcements for the future of Walt Disney World, is exactly how far Disney left technology-wise and everything to bring this land about. Because I think a lot of people say Pandora, you know, that Avatar meeting, a movie was kind of interesting, but it was several years ago and I don't remember it that well. And, you know, why are they doing this? But when you get there, you see how well it lends itself to Disney and to the technology. And Disney really sort of brought their game for this and upped their technology and put so much into these attractions to make them still Disney, but, you know, Disney of the now and of the future rather than Disney of the past.
Yeah, I haven't been, but I have several friends who said they were worried about the wait and the height, and they all said it's worth the wait and it was worth the height.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It met every, like, you almost can't explain it. It's that good, you know? And they said, you know, and I thought, oh, yeah, you can't explain it. But you can't explain it. You know, it's that good. They love the nighttime part.
That's true for Flight of Passage. So there's two rides, Flight of Passage and the Navi River Journey. And so when we went there, we only had 3 days in the parks, which is a really short amount of time. And right now, during the summer, well, maybe not by the time this podcast airs, but they were having hours for people who were staying on property, and it was open until, I want to say, midnight. So from 10 to midnight when I was there, it was just park guests. Or it was just people who were staying at the resorts that were able to be in the park that late. And it was still a long line. It was still about an hour and a half line for Flight of Passage. So we did not the river
fast
journey.
Passes.
You can fast pass if you can get one. They're popular though.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta be staying on site and online 60 days out mm-hmm. to get your fast passes. They're mm-hmm. really hard to get. So we rode the Navi River Journey that night, and it was amazing, but we had just seen the movie. And I think for that one, if people are disappointed, it's because they haven't seen the movie recently and they don't really know the story and they don't know about the animals. You know, the movie really, really tied it all together. So I'm really glad. And the movie kind of holds up really well because mm-hmm. we were kind of surprised. My kids really liked it. It's my youngest son's favorite movie now. So they loved it. They really loved
it. Yeah, and I think the Navi River Ride, I think you also have to watch it with a less skeptical eye because the technology advances. I mean, the things that... It's a ride through, so you can compare it to Pirates of the Caribbean. You could compare it to Small World. You could compare it to even parts of Song of the South, of Splash Mountain, not the thrilling parts of Splash Mountain, but you know, but where like in Splash Mountain, Br'er Rabbit would be on a stick and you know rotating through his little jumping scene. You've got like computer animated monster things, you know, whatever those panthers were called. You know, right. running through the, and there, it's more computer generated and looks 3D. So instead of having Br'er Rabbit on a stick, you actually have these like realistic computer generated. It's super, super cool. Yeah, it is. And honestly, I agree with Sandy. I mean, if you compare it to Flights of Passage, it's like, I mean, that's okay. But it does, it's important that you know what the movie is and what the significance of the floating seeds are. And that, you know, the characters are important in that ride through, but it's a nice long ride through. It's, you know, more the length of the Pirates of the Caribbean and Disneyland rather than Disney World. So it's lengthy and the effects are really outstanding, really outstanding.
Yeah. And our wait for that was only about 20 minutes that night. So the times posted were longer, but we did not wait as long as it posted. So it was worth it.
And tell us about Flight of Passage.
Oh, so this was the ride that blew my kids away, and everything after that, no matter how amazing it was, oh, it's no Flight of Passage. It was okay, but it's no Flight of Passage. Mm-hmm. It's ruined them for everything else. I mean, it is, yes, they brought their game. I mean, we went last December to Universal Studios, and we came away off the Kong ride going, oh, Disney needs to up their game. That animatronic was amazing. They upped their game. They blew it out of the water. Mm-hmm. It was completely amazing.
There are things about like
that. Tell us about the ride.
So the ride is you take Soarin', and then you isolate the passengers a little bit more than Soarin'. So Soarin' has these long hang glider type contraptions where you sit like 8 across, or is it 10 across, something like that. And then they pick you up and put you in front of a full huge video screen so that you feel like you're in the action, and then they dip you and they, you know, spin you or whatever. So Flights of Passage removes that it looks like you're all in individual motorcycles, would you say? That's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, like a little motorbike. And you fit your legs all the way into it. And there was a little bit of concern when it first opened about people of larger size needing assistance with it. But for the most part, we're finding that even larger people can fit in this thing. It's really just a matter of scooching your butt all the way up and scooching your legs all the way up. And so as long as you do that, you know, if you have a little bit more belly, then it might be a little bit harder, but you can fit. If your belly's super hard, then you might have trouble squishing, but if you do squish in, then, you know, and I hate to be so picturesque, but a lot of people are very concerned about this. I think it's really worth a try for someone of a larger size to try it. It's not nearly as bad as, say, riding a roller coaster at Universal Studios, you know, where you're strapped in. And it's important that, you know, your legs get sort of locked in. There's this thing that comes up behind your legs that seems unimportant, but it's very important to the experience of the ride, and I don't want to spoil it in any way. So it lends to the realism of the ride. It's a nice long ride, and once you're going, you feel like you're the only person there. You know, you feel like it's you and this dragon, and nothing else is there to stop you. It's amazingly immersive.
How long is the ride?
Did you time it?
4 or 5 minutes, I'd say. I didn't time it, no. I mean, it's a good length, though.
And can all ages go on it?
There's a height requirement.
There's a height requirement.
Yeah, I'd have to check and see what it was. My kids are all teenagers, so I don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you well, okay, but I will say my cousin went the month before me, and her kids are 5 and 8, and both of them were able to ride it.
You really just have to be able to fit into the contraption. I mean, because it's sort of a motorbike, you know, your feet, I don't even know if your feet have to hit the floor, but they have to actually fit in to where you can be, you know, sort of locked into place. And then there's a bar that comes in at your back to hold you there. No, it's not uncomfortable at all. I was expecting it to be really uncomfortable. I don't like riding bikes. I don't find them very comfortable, but this was actually just fine. And there are times where I quite honestly wanted to reach down and pet the head of my Banshee. You can't, but it's so realistic that, and I think the only bummer in this, it would be a terrible, I mean, if for them to be able to pull this off as an effect, it would be like, I think way above where technology is today. You can never see your Banshee. So I kept wanting like a head to appear in front of me so I could see what color it was or whatever. And you don't, you know, so you have to imagine your actual creature, but I mean that you travel at speed and then you have to rest and your Banshee breathes and you can tell that your Banshee has been working really hard and then you fly off again. So it really, it sort of gives you this full experience of like exhilaration, rest, exhilaration again. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
What else did your kids like about Pandora?
Experienced it at night, so we were actually very disoriented and didn't know where we were going. But really, they didn't want to hang out there too much. I mean, they like walking around. We did some of the, you know, Disney has their photo package, the Memory Maker, and those were some of the most amazing pictures. I always tell people to get the package because the photos turn out at night so much better than what I take with my phone. So it was definitely worth it in Pandora if you're going to stop and pick. But we didn't really, I mean, we went back the next day and spent a little time in there, and then we went the next night because that's when our fast passes were. They liked the shop. There's like another immersive thing you can do in the shop where you can create your own avatar. Did you see that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I actually was going to try and do it, but then I couldn't tell if you actually got to, if it was really a create your own avatar, if it was pre-modeled stuff where they picked something that looked really close to you. So I never spent money on it. But I do think it is real. I think that, you know, since then I've heard other people doing it and they say that they very much look like them and, you know, they put a lot into it. Yeah. There's also the craft beer that's served there, although it is brewed on Pandora, of course, because everything there is in Pandora. It's actually brewed at Terrapin Brewery in Atlanta, which is a wonderful craft brewery and is about as far away as they've gone for craft beer. So you can get a green beer, and then there's a darker beer there that you can get. Both were excellent. Not that I tried both because, you know, who would just go and drink all day, but yeah, both were excellent.
But there's some kind of pineapple cream cheese egg roll that I begged everybody who's down there to bring me back home, and no one's
so complied
as of yet.
You know, Laura, I brought one back for you, but then I ate it. Yeah. They're so good. They are so good.
if anybody listening is likes our Facebook page, the Flyaway Facebook page, I did do some live video while I was there. So there's one of us going into the park at like 10 a.m. on a morning where there were extra magic hours, and you can see the crazy, crazy line. And then I did another one with my kids talking about the ride afterwards, which they were so blown away when we came out of there. So those are pretty cool, and you can go check those out. Check those out on Facebook.
And did you, I've heard that Pandora like lit up special at night, like really bright, illuminated.
Yeah,
so if you're familiar with the movie, everything is bioluminescent at night, and everything you touch and everything you see. So they really brought that into the land. It was really beautiful.
There's a large interactive plant as you enter in that you can touch, and you know, it interacts with you. It really is. And the streetmosphere there is amazing. I highly encourage you to talk to a cast member while you're there. They will talk to you in character. They all have backstories. So, you know, that it's...
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really great. I talked to about 3 or 4 of them, and it was really hard to poke holes in their story. They all were very much... citizens of Pandora, for sure.
Oh, is there some kind of, like, passport thing that you could do there? The kids could get a
the wildlife, wildlife explorer badge, which is part, it's from the movie Up, and it's always been at Animal Kingdom. There are certain badges that you can earn in Pandora for that program. Okay. Yeah, they've added to that passport. So we're about.
How about the thing on the tree at night? Is that part of Pandora, or is that just a new addition to Animal Kingdom?
It's a new show. It's part of the Rivers of, well, it's not part of the Rivers of Light, but it was added at the same time as Rivers of Light. It's sort of a pre-show for that.
It's on the Tree of Life, so it's the big focal point when you come into the park. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it when you're leaving. You can't miss it.
Yep. It's in the center of the park, yeah. So we're 15 minutes in, and we've been talking about what's already new at Disney, but let's talk about the new stuff!
There's so much new stuff.
What's coming next? And I think, I mean, talking about Pandora, it's so much easier to get excited. You're going to get excited about this new stuff that they announced anyway, but it's so much easier to get excited about it now that you know what they're doing with something like Pandora. You know, it really is a step up. It's not your average theme park bear, so to speak. So.
Right. Yeah.
So you want to talk about Hollywood Studios, since that's probably what's going to be done next?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the thing people are excited about. So Hollywood Studios has been undergoing a lot of construction lately, and a lot of things have closed, and, you know, it's kind of this feeling that there's not a lot to do there. So they're going to fix that. 2018, so just next summer, they're going to open Pixar Land.
Yay!
Yay! Or, no, Toy Story Land, I'm sorry. Yeah. Not Pixar. Yeah, so that should be really cool. I'm really excited that it's opening next summer because it'll really give that park a big boost. And if you ride, right now, if you ride Tower of Terror, you can see the Slinky Dog coaster.
Mm-hmm. Going up, yep.
So that's kind of cool. They finished laying the final track for that, so that's really cool.
So is it already under construction?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's halfway done. Not that I know how to build a roller coaster, but you can definitely see the framework of it, so yeah. So everybody, we'll talk about Star Wars, but everybody's like, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. Well, that's not for 2 years. And people are like, well, nothing's going to happen. This is huge. Like, this Toy Story Land, I've been in two other parks now. Well, three, if you count Disneyland, that have Pixar themed areas. Disneyland has Cars Land, but then both, Hong Kong and Paris have these, Pixar areas that are mostly Toy Story themed. And they're such fun. It's the perfect addition to any theme park, because the whole idea of being shrunk down into being a toy and then getting to do stuff is totally fun and very doable in a theme park. And in the parks that I've been in both Hong Kong and Disney, the Slinky Dog ride is one of those spinny rides. It's one of those things where you go round and round and round and up and down, and the whole ride, you basically just get thrown to one side and crush each other. And, you know, it's like a little carnival ride, but this is a full-on coaster, which is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it looks really cool. So when I was there, the Great Movie Ride was ending. And I was really, it's one of those things that I was sad, but I don't ride it every time I go. They did just change it, so I was surprised that they're taking it away. But we did get to ride it one more time, and I got a little teary-eyed when I was getting off of it. But they're changing it to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. So that's kind of exciting. I know some people don't like the new animation, but that's a new thing for that park that's going to be pretty cool. And I hope they keep Man's Chinese Theater, and I hope that side doesn't change.
I think it'll tie in really well to that. And this is the only Minnie and Mickey themed attraction in any of the parks. It's so weird that there isn't one. So, you know, to have for them to finally have their own ride, you know, it just seems like it's long overdue. long overdue.
It's meant to be.
Yeah.
Does Donald Duck have anything?
He is. No. He's featured in PhilharMagic.
He's also in the Three Caballeros.
Yeah, the Three Caballeros. Yeah.
Caballeros.
Yes. Yeah. So he does has a little bit of spotlight time for sure.
One of my favorite Disney movies is Ratatouille, so I was really excited to hear that there's going to be some Ratatouille stuff coming down the pike, which is it's several years away, but that there's going to be a a Ratatouille ride coming to Epcot. Is that right?
Yes. So you've moved over to Epcot. And can I talk about this one, Sandy? Because this one I know about.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Ratatouille ride is actually in Disneyland Paris right now. And my family rode it twice, and we would have ridden it more. It was down a lot. It was really rainy there. And the technology of this ride, we honestly, because this was before I experienced Pandora, this was back in November of last year. So Pandora wasn't open yet. And we all got off that ride and said, why isn't everything at Disney like this? Because the technology is just amazing. The thing that's so cool about Ratatouille is the cars. They run on magic. They won't tell you. If you ask them how they run, they won't tell you. They'll tell you it's magic. They'll tell you, well, they're mice. They run. But our best guess is it's magnets underneath, but they are free moving cars that you spin around, and it really does feel like you're on one of those tracks, you know, that they have with, where you have the magnet underneath and you run the car around the magnet. It feels around the track with your magnet underneath. That's what it seems like. And you're basically in a rat. So you're supposed to be a rat. Like you're riding on the back of a rat, basically. And you're riding through the kitchens as if you're, you know, rat size. So everybody is big, and you know, if they're going to hit you with a frying pan, it looks this big frying pan coming down. And you move, you move from these like giant screen sort of, there's several rats in the room with you looking at what's happening, to these little individual corridors where you're surrounded on three sides by video screens. And it looks like you're running. I mean, it's unreal. It's so much fun. And I love that movie. I know some people are like, Ratatouille, I didn't even see that movie. You should see it. It's so good. It's so good.
I love that movie.
Yeah. I mean, if you like food, if you like France, if you like cute little rodents, it's totally your movie. You don't have to like all three of those things. You can just like one of those things and it's still great.
And it's like, it's funny and it's sad and it's got a little bit of like Lady and the Tramp feel to me. It's just, you know, you just can't help but love it.
It's a lot about self-confidence and about, you know, being who you are, even if it's not typical for, you know, to be that. You know, rats can't cook. Rats are supposed to be out of the kitchen, you know, those sorts of things. So, and it's just a darling ride. And on top of that, as someone who loves Europe and loves France, the movie in France is dated and needs to go. So this is just so nice to sort of bring France into the 21st century without destroying its history. I mean, it's still, that movie is also a big love story to the city of Paris for sure. And even the country of France and its culture. So it's kind of a nice way to bring that up to date.
And then the Guardians of the Galaxy ride is coming also, right?
Yes. So, Universe of Energy was also one of those that had the last ride right after I was there. And, you know, I have
to say, Ellen DeGeneres ride, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't start out with Ellen DeGeneres. That was the update, and that update is still really old. And even knowing I was never going to get to ride it again, I couldn't get my family on that ride.
That ride's so funny because it featured Bill Nye when he was just barely cool anymore after waning, and now he's cool again. So it's kind of like,
it's a 45-minute ride. Yeah. You know, like, I just couldn't, they wouldn't take time at the time to do it. And I think that's why it needs the update. And so part of me is kind of like, what are they doing to Epcot doing all this stuff? But then, you know, another part of me is, I know I'm going to love it. So, you know, keep moving forward.
Well, do you know anything about what that ride's going to be about?
No, they haven't said very much about it. I think, you know, it's going to fit in because Guardians of the Galaxy is set in space. So that will help it fit in whatever they do. The attraction that's open at Disneyland is definitely a thrill ride with a drop. You know, they've transformed the old Tower of Terror there into this Guardians thing. That, it doesn't seem like they're wanting to rebuild Tower of Terror. They're going to do something totally different there. And with the space they have and the mechanics, I don't know if they're going to rip it all out or if they're just going to update it. But since Guardians is set in space, of all the superhero movies, that one does make a little bit of sense to put in Epcot, depending on what they do with it. So I feel they're probably still writing the story. Like, they probably don't know exactly what they're going to do with it yet. But,
well, you know, I'm not a big sci-fi person. I'm not really into a lot of the things that a lot of folks are into, the Star Wars and Star Trek and all that, but I fell in love with Groot in that movie.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
And went around for days with Groot.
Yes.
You know? So that's the thing, his sweet little personality. Well, he was funny and whimsical, and I loved him. So I'm looking forward to seeing you know, what they bring. And a friend of mine who's been to, I think, Disneyland recently said one of the food things she liked was the Groot bread or something like that. It's like bread that's supposed to look like his head.
I haven't seen it yet. It can't be bad, though. So, yeah. Yeah, another thing that I'm excited about as we talk about updates, you know, but getting back into World Showcase and how Ratatouille is going to bring France up to date, China is another one. I see that movie, and I don't know that much about China. I have been there, you know, my sister is very active in the Asian market and knows a lot about China. But even I, who know very little, knows that that movie is hideously out of date. And China has made huge, huge strides since that movie was produced in 1980. And it does the whole country no service whatsoever to have that old movie. It's not horrible. It's just so dated. And it's not accurate for today's China. So I'll be really excited to see a new film come in that really showcases what that country is all about right now.
That's another one that I haven't seen. I haven't seen that one or the France one. I've seen the Canadian one since they've updated it. But, yeah, it's one of those things that as many times as I go, I don't wander in and see the movie. I do wander in and see the pagoda and the, you know, the ceiling and acoustics and stuff. But, yeah, I don't watch the movie. So, yeah.
Have you ever watched the movie?
I think I saw it the first year I went to Epcot when I was 12. In like 1982.
It hasn't changed at all.
I remember watching it, you know, two or three times.
Yeah.
But I went because I just loved it in the round, and you felt like you were part of the people, but it has been around for, you know, a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things to mention, the Ratatouille and the Guardians of the Galaxy, there's another one, the Tron Lightspeed Ride. These are all projected for 2021, which is actually a huge year. They're also trying to update all the resorts by this year, too, because it's going to be the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. So 2021, go ahead and mark your calendars. It's going to be huge.
So let's just touch, we're skipping a few things, but let's touch on what's happening at Magic Kingdom, and then let's talk about the resorts, because that's actually, there's a couple of really cool things happening at the resorts, one that we know a lot about and one we don't know so much about. So Magic Kingdom, we're getting rid of those freaking diesel cars that are loud and smelly.
They're not replacing those.
They are replacing it, aren't they?
No, they're putting the Tron Light Cycle behind them.
Oh, now I'm sad. Everything I read said they were replacing it.
What cars are you talking about?
So there's in Tomorrowland, there's a motor speedway, which really has nothing to do with the future.
It has nothing to do with the future. It has to do with noise pollution and air pollution. And
I don't remember that Tomorrowland. Where is it?
It's like when you're walking from Tomorrowland to Fantasyland. It's
can't
like
miss
the cars
it.
That you can drive. The motor speedway thing. But they're putting behind it, they're putting the Tron Light Cycle ride that is in Shanghai Disney, which I've actually had some friends that have ridden in, and they said it was completely amazing. So I'm really excited that they're bringing this to Tomorrowland. It's actually something that fits in Tomorrowland.
Yes, I agree.
So
they need to get rid of those cars, though. I can't believe they're not getting rid of those cars. That's everything I heard said they were getting rid of the cars.
Okay, so maybe that's something we need to follow up on, but my understanding was the rumor was they were getting rid of them, but when they announced it, they said they were putting it behind there. So I could be wrong. But that's the cars are another thing that I was like, oh, they're getting rid of them, but I still don't ever ride
them. Cars are awful. Okay, so I'm not as excited about that. Let's talk about the resorts. Let's move on to something happier.
go ahead.
I want to talk about the, well, I guess this is technically transportation, but it sort of has to do with the resorts. The Skyliner.
Yeah.
Can you talk about more about it, Sandy? Because I've only seen the outlines of it, and I know about all the resorts that are undergoing, like, closures and things.
Yeah, it's gondolas, which is actually kind of cool, because when you think about the monorail resorts, you know, that's like one of the perks of staying in a monorail resort. You get this special monorail ride to Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Well, the gondolas are going to be from some of the value resorts and in a moderate resort to the area behind Epcot. Like, so between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, it seems like it's going somewhere in there because you'll be able to take a gondola there. So it sounds really cool.
Yeah. Very cool. And when we say gondola, we're not talking about a boat. We're talking about a sky thing. So like the gondolas that you would ride up in a ski resort, not the open ski lifts where you jump off and ski, but the big
not a chairlift.
Yeah, not a chairlift, but the big cars that are glass on the side that go up the mountains or whatever. It's that sort of transportation. So it's not only just new transportation, but it's like cool. It's really neat. And shouldn't, I mean, the lines, people are like, well, the lines are going to be so terrible, but it should be, I'm guessing, the size of a bus or so. So you would probably have similar lines than you do for the bus transportation, right? What do you think?
The pictures look smaller than that, but, you know, when we were at the San Diego Zoo, they had gondolas, and it was kind of a constant motion thing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do the boarding, and if you can easily get in them fast, or if it's going to be something that they have to, because if they have to stop and load and unload, then it's going to take longer. But if it's on a continuous movement thing, it won't take as long.
Right.
You know? So
yeah.
I don't know. And it'll be interesting to see
this
how
this sounds really cool.
Yeah. That's, I mean, the London Eye sort of loads that way, where you, and probably that thing in Myrtle Beach that's just like the London Eye that you always talk about, where, you know, as it revolves down, people step off of it, and then in the next area, they load onto it, and it's moving slow enough that that can exchange. You know, you can get quite a few people on and off it, you know, easily. So, okay, we're almost out of time. We're at 31 minutes. So you want to talk about Galaxy Far, Far Away?
Well, as I say, you talk about transportation, the new transportation that's already out a little bit. The minivans.
The minivans.
Uh-huh. It's so cheesy.
I saw those when I was down there. So they're rolling out to more resorts now. And they'll probably be resort wide. This is basically Disney's jumping in on the Uber Lyft bandwagon, because everyone I know has been Ubering all over Disney for like the last year. And it's a lot easier and more convenient especially if you are doing something where you would have to take more than one bus. So
resort to resort transportation is where it's most needed, I think.
I wish you could buy those vans in public and drive them in public.
Just wait. I'm sure one day it's got to be happening.
I would so have one of those cars. There's a lady in my town who has a little tiny VW bug, and it's painted like a ladybug with big wind-up key on the back of it and everything. And I just, every time I see it, I have to, I want that.
There was a thing not long ago for Coopers, where the Mini Coopers, but they were Mini Coopers, and they're red and black and have a little bow on top. And yeah,
I've seen those with a little
eyelashes in the front.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's the minivan. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Star Wars is going to be huge.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's coming to both coasts. It's coming to Hollywood Studios, and it's also coming to Disneyland Resort. And we're talking 2019, so you got to wait a little longer. But they announced the name. It's going to be called Galaxy's Edge. And we don't have a whole lot more information yet. But judging from what they did in Pandora, I think Star Wars is going to blow everything away.
I've seen the fly through, and I think, you know, honestly, one of the things about it is they named it Galaxy's Edge so that you're not, if you're a Star Wars geek, you won't come in and go, that's not what things looked like on Tatooine. And that's not what things, this is a totally new, it's not been pictured in any movies or anything. So there's nothing you can look at and say that's wrong in theory. But I did see, like, in the fly through, they show that you can actually walk underneath and maybe into the Millennium Falcon. And so like it's parked there. So, I'm really excited. It does seem to be a lot more about immersion into a world, kind of like Pandora, where there will be attractions, but it's also about the atmosphere and just being part of the Star Wars galaxy.
This is kind of a little bit off the beaten path, but do you guys find when Disney announces stuff like this that it's going to be ready at a certain time, that it's ready at that time?
Yeah.
Like if there are people just hearing now that the Star Wars, you know, is going to be open in 2019, they're like, okay, I want to call my travel agent and make sure that I'm there, near there, or that when the reservations are open, that my name's on the list.
I mean,
2019 is a pretty big stretch, you know?
If they give you
that covers the whole year. So I mean, you can't make reservations yet anyway. Normally I think that they do. I think they had a lot of trouble with Rivers of Light, the new nighttime show at Animal Kingdom. That's kind of an anomaly. And I think they do purposely say vague things like 2019 so that they're not overly committed because they like to under promise and over deliver.
If they give you a date, they're pretty sure when it is. Like, and it, like when they say summer of 2019, then you'll know that it's summer of 2019. It might be August, it might be May, but in general, Disney, if they say summer of 2019, Disney's going to want to open that as early in summer as they can to capture the summer crowds. So they generally won't say that. What they would then say is if they really think it's going to be August, they would probably say fall. And this is me, Elizabeth, being completely unofficial. But just from experience, so you'll notice too. So the Star Wars stuff is set to open in 2019. They have plans for it. They've started building it. It's all like, it's underway. The Star Wars stuff was broken. The ground was broken at Disneyland last year. So they've been building it for a while. So that is on track. But then this, Star Wars themed hotel that is quite the buzz, that is probably going to be very expensive, is apparently going to be very immersive to the point where they give you costumes when you check in. That's the plan anyway. There's no date on that. They don't even know where it's going to be yet. So that one, you know, I would not count on it happening anytime too soon. People are throwing around pricing. They're throwing around all these things. It's all still ideas, and it could be very different by the time it comes out.
Yeah, that's still in the Imagineering stage.
Yes. But it will happen. I have no doubt. The fact that they announced it, I mean, it could get stalled. Like if we have a huge world event, if politically the Pop Century, just to give you a little piece of history, Pop Century Resort was being built when 9/11 happened. And so only half of it opened and the other half of it sat abandoned for years. Now it's the Art of Animation. Oh, wow. But people were posting like ghost town videos of it because, you know, it was right across the pond from Pop Century, but it was originally supposed to be the other half of Pop Century, and they just stopped building and opened what they had. And then they later on converted. I think it ended up for the best, but later on they ended up, you know, not rebuilding, but redesigning it for Art of Animation and finishing it out. So if something tragic happens or large happens, you know, then yeah, we could see a delay, but in general, I would say it'll probably move right along. So once they know what they're doing and they know where they're doing it, then I think we'll get a date of some sort. We better.
That's really cool.
I'm packing my bags, so I need a date soon.
So one last thing we need to mention. I know we're running low on time, but Disney California Adventure is getting some cool stuff. So the whole pier area is going to be Pixar Pier. They're going to have some new fireworks there. And for Disneyland's 60th anniversary, their Diamond Celebration, they had a really awesome parade called Paint the Night, and it was a nighttime parade. And they took it away because it was supposed to be limited time, but Disney California Adventure is getting Paint the Night. So that's really cool. The Pixar parade that's in the daytime is moving over to Disneyland Park, and Disney California Adventure will get Paint the Night. And I'm really glad that it's not going away. I was kind of hoping it would come to the East Coast, but that's okay.
Maybe one day.
What makes it really cool?
It was a boost in technology. So they have the Elizabeth, help me with the name of the one in Disneyland now. It's not Spectrum Magic, it's the other one.
You're talking about the Electric Light Parade?
Yeah, the Electric Light Parade. So that came back to Disneyland.
That was like the original, like 1971 parade. I mean, that's the...
Right. Yeah, so you had these nighttime parades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paint the Night was kind of that on steroids. And it was, you know, the lead float had Tinkerbell floating on the front of it. You know, it was really cool. It was a live actor, Tinkerbell. It was just gorgeous, and I'm glad it didn't go away. It kind of was one of those things that you couldn't imagine that it would actually completely go away because they had to do so much to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely you definitely need to see it if you're over there. I mean, if you go to Disneyland, you need to do like I would say at least 3 days. You could see all the nighttime stuff, but you might want to do more at this point. But they're also getting an immersive superhero universe. So they've got the, Elizabeth had mentioned, they're doing the Guardians of the Galaxy break out of the prison. I can't remember the name of
it. That's already open.
Yeah, so the old Tower of Terror. But they're also bringing Spider-Man and Avengers attractions there, too. So.
Well, one of the things that I love about Disney is kind of standing in awe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just... I mean, even things for me like the topiaries, it's just like what went into creating those and the way that they just, you know, it's, it's, you know, there's a lot of people say, you know, it's like once you've gone Disney, you're never going to go back. You know, it's, they just pay attention to so many finite details.
Yep.
You know, and I haven't been to Disney in a long time, but the last time I was there, and this will tell you how long ago it was, for the nighttime fireworks show, or the castle show, Tinkerbell, like, flew in and lit the castle with her wand.
She still does it.
And I was just like, oh my God, like, where'd she come from?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like, you know, you didn't, You know, I've been in community theater too long. You know, you didn't see somebody with a thing on their back. And you know, it's like, it looked like she flew in. You know, and I was saying, where did she come from? Where'd she come from? You know, and we had to go back the next night because I wanted to see it again. And I still couldn't figure out, where did she come from? You know, the way she lit up that castle, not just lit it up like blue or pink, but it looked like little jewels all over it. You know, those little, you know, that to me, when you're talking about these new things being booked and these, you know, new rides, is that Disney and the parade you're just talking about, Paint the Night, you know, it's just, Disney just keeps getting better and better and better.
You would love Paint the Night because it uses the ability to project video and, you know, you take those electric light pageant dresses that are all bulbs and everything and you just kick it up a notch because now they can do so much more. You can put so much power into those dresses that you couldn't put in before. And then you have technology on the floats that you didn't have before. Just, you know, things that wouldn't have been safe in 1972 are safer now. They have ways to make them safer so they can do these amazing stunts. And so it's just a step up. You would definitely love it for sure.
Well, and you've used the words a lot, immersive experiences, which seems like more and more with the heading. But for me, my ex-husband was a huge Disney geek, whatever you're going to call it. He loved Disney. And he said, and I agreed with him, that it's like when you walk in the Magic Kingdom on Main Street, like you walk through where you give your tickets, and you get to the other side of that, and you're at the end of Main Street, and the castle's there, and he goes, it even smells different here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that you get like, he said, breathe deep. Just breathe in the magic. It even smells different.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and in some ways, Disney's been creating that immersive experience, mm-hmm. you know, right down to your, you know, like you said, the Pandora, the cast members.
Yep.
You know, you can't break their story.
Yep, it's true.
So, well, we could talk on and on about the magic of Disney, but that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for joining us and we welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for Fly Away and please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Laura, thank you so much for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!